We be casting off now.
Look here, Sugar Queen.
Sugar Queen?
Uncle, I need 2 jasmine, 1 green, and 1 lychee.
I'm brewing as fast as I can.
I don't need any calming tea.
I'm completely calm.
I must find the Avatar to restore my honor.
It's okay. You can laugh. It's funny.
Nice speech, Azula. It was pretty and poetic, but also scary in a good way.
Should we do something?
Hey, I'm just enjoying the show.
Hello and welcome to From the Spirit World, a legendary Avatar The Last Airbender podcast for DongBooFang.net. I am Dylan, and I'm joined today by Kevin.
Hello.
And Kevin, again, is alternate Copa. I'm also joined by Abby.
Hello.
And Abby is Splendy. And lastly, I'm joined by Steph.
Hello.
Yeah, and Steph is Avatar Spirits. This podcast is pretty much going to be an impromptu podcast. We got no outline this time, so bear with us and send stuff to podcast@dongbooFang.net. I don't have that line written down, so yeah. And you can access the podcast on iTunes and stuff.
If you don't know how to do it now, we can't help you. No, I'm kidding.
Okay. Yeah, so today's podcast, we got some Avatar news, DongBooFang news, then we're going to have And then we're going to discuss Comic-Con and everything that went in Comic-Con. A little late, but better late than never. And mailbag segment. Okay, so let's move on to our regular news.
Okay, so in Avatar news lately, we've been getting some trailers.
A total of 2 trailers. 1 9 seconds, one couple minutes.
Yeah, we got a trailer at Comic-Con and then one on Nick so far. It will probably be more throughout the September before the show airs.
Yeah, actually, there's a clip up on YouTube right now of a young Roku and Fire Lord Sozin. Kind of a flashback little portion, I believe. And it's on YouTube. It's about 2 minutes long. And it's up there. And if you want to find it, just go to YouTube, type in Avatar YTV. And that's probably one of the first links that'll come up for you. It's really, really pretty cool. I won't spoil it for you. Go ahead and check it out.
Yeah. Oh, it's not out yet, but the September highlights probably will be out by the time this podcast is done on CableTVTalk.com. And the episode summaries will be out for the first 2 episodes, as well as confirming the Awakening and the Headband titles. So that's sweet. Good.
Also, be sure in September to keep an eye peeled for that exclusive Nick magazine that has featured a full issue of Avatar with lots of comics by a lot of famous and well-known Avatar artists.
Yep.
Reptoon included.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Avatar Spirit's done a good job covering that. So, I think that's September 18th. Yeah.
19th.
September 18th, so it'll come out.
Of course, that means we won't be able to find it, that means, until at least 4 or 5 days afterward. Because those newsstand people, they don't know the meaning of putting it out the day of.
Yeah,
drives me nuts.
Just stand out there and camp out until the first issue comes out. Got it now.
Okay, and anything else for Avatar news?
Nope, just lots of interesting things revealed at the con, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Yes, we'll get to that. Okay, and in DongBooFang news, the character tournament, it's down to the final 8, and maybe the final 4 by the time this podcast is out. It's getting very interesting.
Cut the tension.
Yes. And yeah, recently DongBooFang's been having some server changes, as the hosts we've been having really suck. So the site's been down for a while. And now we're back with GoDaddy. And hopefully they'll keep us up for a while.
The good news is, I should say the bad news first is, of course, the videos that we had hosted from Comic-Con. I can't host them on my server anymore. You guys are awesome. You love the videos so much. You hit my server so many times, it killed it. Thank you so much. Seriously, that's awesome. I've never had a server die on me before. But I transferred them, of course, over to DongBooFang. And as of right now, all the videos are up and ready to go, so feel free to, when you can, check out the site and see them.
Okay, so let's move on to our discussion on Comic-Con.
Yes. Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Well, out of the group here, I believe myself, of course, I was there for the full 3 days. And Abby, you were there too.
I was there for Thursday.
Yep, you were there for Thursday. And, well, what did you get to see, Abby? When you were there for just that short time, did you get to just have a look around the dealer's room or get to go into any...
Yeah, I went around there for a little bit. Not very long because I had to get back, but I went through the DC booth and they were just like, there were some crazy people out there, like that tie-dye guy, I think I saw him.
Yep. Yeah, by the way, everybody, Abby's talking about this fellow who followed me around, because I was there, of course, with my camera. If you've seen the videos that we've posted to Dong Bufeng, Amira from Distant Horizon and I were there, and there was this one fellow who was in his 60s, dressed in this weird psychedelic tie-dye. He had this big, tall cat in the hat cap, and he just kind of...
He was so funny.
He was walking around the back of our shots. I don't know if he was trying to get in the camera view. I don't know what the deal was, but you meet a lot of characters out there.
Is he going to be blurred out in the videos?
I couldn't avoid him. There's one shot where I think he makes it in the next video when you get the Dong Bufeng set up. You'll see it. But I managed to avoid him, mostly.
Mostly.
It really, Comic-Con was just amazing. It was just a mass of people. In fact,
madness.
It was just, they said that there was a sold-out year. If you wanted to get there after the fact, you would have been able to only get single-day passes, and you would have had to stand in line every morning for it because they sold out their pre-sale tickets, and each day they sold out the tickets for showing up for that day. It was very impressive. Of course, that made things very smelly. I have to say a lot of people didn't wear body deodorant. And I don't know why. I assume that's their choice, and I respect that, I guess.
I think it was those, like, goth people that were just, like, out there in their black, all black, sweating.
Not that this isn't an interesting discussion.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Right. We want to talk about Avatar stuff, of course, at the Comic-Con. I was just trying to give you a little bit of the feeling of being there, the sights, and unfortunately the smells of what it was like to be at Comic-Con. But,
bare nose plugs.
Yeah, right. But the coolest thing I want to point out right away off the bat, I want to give a shout-out to a young lady who was there at Con by the name of Nikki. And I was just hanging out there with Amira from Distant Horizon and Avatar Mom from ASN. And just out of the blue, this young lady walked up to me and said, are you the guy from that Avatar podcast? It blew my mind.
Wow.
I asked her, yes, I am. How'd you know that? And she says, I recognized your voice. And I told her, oh, my gosh, you know, thank you so much. I'm so glad people actually listen to the podcast besides us.
Stand back.
Okay, yeah, that's amazing, because I think
the... this way, we know someone's slightly famous.
Yeah, I think the main thing about this podcast and about Avatar podcasts is it connects the casual Avatar fan to the fandom. Mm-hmm. And it's so great to hear, to see casual Avatar fans that actually listen to us, and surprisingly, we do get listeners.
And that was a lot of fun. So a big thank you to Nikki out there. It was really great getting to meet you at Con.
Who else did you meet at the Con?
Oh, there were lots of great people there. There were lots of a lot of fans from AvatarSpirit.net, there's a few from Distant Horizon who I got to meet. There were some folks, a lot of folks from DeviantArt were there, who I actually got to meet for the first time there, and I've since got my own DeviantArt account, and I've been keeping in touch with these people, and it was really fun because they're just so creative. Like I said in the video, you notice I met Earl from DeviantArt, of course, who we interviewed in the last podcast. I met Isaiah, Booter Freak, Kimchi Crusader. Of course, Amir was there too,
Lucky,
who does artwork, and it was just amazing because when we were standing in line for the panel at the convention, I was kind of standing in front of them, and we were all, you know, had 4 hours to kill, of course. And I look down behind me, and there they are, and they have their sketch pads open, and they're sketching. And these girls who are, you know, in age ranging from 20 to, like, 15, they're really young, and I'm 27. They're sitting there, they're sketching freehand stuff that takes me, like, 10 minutes to pre-draw, and I don't draw too badly. I've done, you know, some drawing work and illustration work, but these girls are just amazing. They blow me away. And to see them there sketching and doing their Avatar work right in front of you was just so much fun. And it was like instantly I recognized who they were by their drawing style. I was like, you guys are, you're Isaiah, you're so-and-so. And they're like, yeah, as they kind of got a little scared by my freak out. No, but they were just wonderful, really, really sweet gals.
Yeah, wow.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm. And of course,
you're a lucky man.
Oh, yeah, it was fun. And lots of cosplayers, lots of folks dressed up in Avatar costumes, which was a lot of fun.
I saw an entire clan of Kyoshi Warriors.
Oh,
like, guys walking out, I was like, Kyoshi Warriors! And they're like, what? I'm like, oh, nothing.
Yeah, yeah. They had a little squadron of Kyoshi Warriors being led by Bossing Sayazula, by the way, I noticed, which was kind of cool.
Oh, I didn't see it.
Yeah. So let me think. Now, in terms of what was happening on the show floor with Avatar, nothing besides the card hunt, which you see featured in one of the videos on Dongbufeng.
Card hunt. They ran out of cards as soon as I got there. They gave up the last one. I get up there, I'm like, cards. They're like, oh, we just gave away the last one.
Oh, yeah, I'm so sorry, Abby. Well, if it's any consolation, Abby, I lost my set, actually. I think I lost it in my hotel room somewhere, and that really burned.
Aww. You didn't get to sell them on eBay?
That's really all that was on the show floor. I went to the Mattel toy booth to see if there was something going on with the action figure sets or any of the new toys or licenses going on. Nada. Unfortunately, that's part of the new news. The Avatar line has pretty much been dropped. From Mattel.
Yeah, which again doesn't make much sense since there are all these other products coming out right now.
Well,
I just got a plush set directly from China.
Right.
Got to brag about some more. But yeah. Even though those aren't.
Well, you know, there's some time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. I'm expecting another company to pick up the toy line, probably.
Well, we hope so. It's we'll have to see what happens. Just because you know it's nearing the end of the third season, so it'd be rare to see someone pick it up at an afterward date, so to speak.
There's still a lot to distribute.
Yeah, and about quick throw in for an afterward date. As of now, the date of this recording, Avatar has not been renewed yet for a fourth season. Mike and Brian have been pitching other shows that do not involve the storyline of Aang, and none of them have been accepted yet. So, doesn't look good for next year's Comic-Con involving Avatar.
Let's skip ahead real quick.
Beloved, we're here to...
I know. Well, it's not a death sentence just yet. I'll skip ahead a little bit to the Saturday when we had the panel. And you can see it in the video, too, that one of the things... they mentioned, because everybody got up and asked questions and asked, is there going to be a fourth season? Is it going to continue? And they really couldn't say anything beyond a couple vague answers. But the gist of the answers they gave were that we're not done with this universe yet. We're still going to want to do things with it. And hopefully, a best-case scenario, again, he couldn't be very specific, unfortunately, but hopefully what that means in the best-case scenario is that somewhere down the road in the future, maybe not right after the end of this third season, but maybe a year or two, and sometime near when the movies are coming out, there might be another new series coming out. But that is, of course, total speculation on our part. Really, the only thing that is confirmed for Avatar in the future are going to be the M. Night Shyamalan movies.
Mm. And I'd just like to add to that originally when Kevin told me that, I posted... breaking news, Avatar will have another season. And Jake's contact has since said that we overreacted to Brian's comments.
You
and,
lie! How dare you betray us all! Sorry.
That's not what he's necessarily meaning. That means they're trying to work on maybe something else in the Avatar storyline. But again, as of now, there's nothing. And the chances are still surprisingly high, though, since the movies are coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And this just shows they're willing and... trying to get another thing going. So hopefully that'll get done.
It doesn't have to be a show, but maybe comics or something. I heard that they were probably going to try comics.
Yes, that's another possibility.
Okay, so
that'd be good,
Back to the presentation there.
Right, back to the presentation. Well, again, the movies, of course, are coming out, so that might have even been what he was hinting at. I should say the very worst, but maybe the only thing he was hinting at in the future for Avatar is coming out. But there was a special hello from M. Night Shyamalan, of course. About the movies coming out. And you'll notice if you watch the video too, he says, hey guys, the movies are coming out real soon. And everybody, of course, got on the message board saying, oh, well, the movies, they must be shooting it now, blah, blah, blah. Well, coming real soon in movie speak means 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
Just so everybody knows. that's real soon in movie terms. So it's still a ways off. But other things that were mentioned or said at the panel, Nickelodeon asked that we wouldn't show the whole panel because they want to include it on their DVD box set later on. So I couldn't include all the things from the question and the answer session, but there were a couple things that were mentioned that were kind of interesting, if I just have to try and remember them all. People have always been asking about, like, if there's a soundtrack coming out, because everybody loves the track team's music that they've made for the show.
I love it so much.
Yeah. And Brian's comments to that were that, just keep asking, Nick, and hopefully we'll see what happens. But another person asked about an art book, which I thought would be another fantastic thing, because, at the panel they showed us all these great storyboards, they showed us all the conceptual artwork for the backgrounds, and it's really, really beautiful stuff. And if somebody wanted a, you know, art book, kind of like they do for the Miyazaki films, if you've seen those out in bookstores now, where they show all the background paintings. And again, he said there's nothing in the works for that right now, but he would love to see it. And had the, would the opportunity come around for that license, you know, to be presented, they said they'd jump on it. They'd love to do it. They'd love to make those things. Mm-hmm. So nobody's against making these things. It's just you got to find the group that's willing to make it happen. One of the kind of the neat things that Brian mentioned in terms of the designs that they were looking for the next season is that the Fire Nation is kind of based on Iceland, because Iceland is very volcanic and has a lot of great scenery and volcanic areas.
What a misnomer.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Iceland, exactly. Isn't that funny? And so he was there taking pictures of Iceland and using that as reference for all the backgrounds for the Fire Nation.
Did they say anything about the episode specifically?
Oh, about the episodes coming out, they didn't mention too much. They were very tight-lipped, unfortunately. They I don't think they were allowed to talk too much about spoilers or what was coming up. Other than basic character stuff about, you know, the characters, all four of our heroes, of course, will return. Everybody's going to have new outfits and new hairstyles, of course. In fact, it's very funny. One person, a little kid, was up there, and he asked a question. And he says, how come Aang has hair? And Brian's response was, well, he has these things called follicles. And they grow. And and he says, no, they're incognito, of course. They're behind enemy lines in the Fire Nation. And, of course, the kid after that, he asked, what's incognito mean? But no, it was very, very cute. And
was there any foamy cosplayers?
Foamy cosplayers. Yes, that would have been awesome. No, I contemplated cosplaying foamy, but I didn't have the time to do it. There weren't any foamy cosplayers. Actually, I'll tell you an interesting story. Aww. I wanted to make sure that I was able to kind of get into the room, because they had a big room, large room. They were anticipating, though, an even bigger crowd. They didn't know what was going to happen. Plus, you understand, there was a Transformers panel right after the Avatar panel. And so you had a lot of Transformers squatters, actually, which were people showing up for the Transformers panel, like, at the crack of dawn and sitting through the first panel just to make sure they had seats for the next one, which was kind of crummy, in my opinion. But you can't stop the squatters. You don't know who's there for, you know, Optimus Prime or who's there for Aang. But... so I wanted to make sure I got in. So I got there real early. I got there first in line. But I also wanted to make sure I was wearing a costume, because they had the costume contest going on, and I had a feeling they were going to let all the cosplayers in pronto.
Appa.
Right. So I really quickly, the week before con, whipped up together this quasi-cosplay, which was, I don't know if you've seen pictures online or not. You can see them on Dongbufeng, on the Dongbufeng blog. I wore a Appa hat. Plush Appa hat with horns coming out of it, and a tail. I had a little tail on my regular streetwear, so I called myself Casual Street Appa. It was a lame excuse, but I think it worked.
It would be awesome if you were like an Appa and had like necklaces or something, like a pimp cane.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I noticed quite a few people had Katara necklaces that they had made themselves. And I just want to say something, too, about the fandom, which really was so amazing. Everybody there, because, you know, one thing I have to say, because of the lack of some licensed products for Avatar, I mean, there's very, very few licensed products that are, you know, in terms of plushies, or, I mean, there's just very few things, unfortunately.
And most of the ones that were picked were female warriors, stupid,
right.
Sexist people.
Exactly. It's all the guys, too. So I have to say, I really have to hand it to the fans that they themselves have gone and have made everything. They've made costumes. There were people there.
Wow.
Somebody had made a little plushie of a purple pentapus. He actually had little suction cups sewed into the bottom of the feet. Yeah. Another person had made their own, a fella had made his own cactus juice. He was walking around, the fella who was dressed as Aang, and he was, you know,
sweet.
I think it was green tea, and he had his own little Boomy's cactus juice label on it. The fans are
really... Should've been Sokka.
Yeah.
Dylan's going to hate me for asking this, but by any chance were there Sokka cosplayers?
There were a couple Sokka cosplayers. One of them was a girl, though.
Oh, wow.
And all of them were bad-looking, Steph.
That's you.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. And then, of course, there was the grand prize winner of the cosplay contest, which was the Big Appa costume. Did you guys see that one? Pictures of that online?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
That was...
That was really good. I can't believe you stayed that.
I know. It was just amazing. Incredible work. She had the four arms. of Appa. She had a string going between the bottom set of arms that she was able to move around, so all of the arms moved. It was just really, really cool. And, of course, that costume was made and worn by a lovely young lady, goes by the name of Jin Complete on DeviantArt.
Okay.
Really cool. And she was also the first in line in the morning, too, outside, outdoors,
wow,
with that big, heavy costume. You know, there was a whole lot of things revealed. There really was in the trailer and the presentation that they gave during the panel. But they didn't really give us any answers about it. They gave us teasing glimpses, of course, but they didn't answer it.
How vague.
I think one thing that I can answer for certain is if you look at the trailer that's available online now, we know who Sokka's master is. He's the fellow who you see Sokka sparring with his swords through the bamboo in the trailer, for the Season 3 trailer.
Dang it, and here I thought it would be Suki. Dang it.
Yep. His master, I guess, is not Suki, but he looks kind of like Long Fang with a full head of hair.
But probably not. Definitely not, actually.
Like, you know, for instance, they showed off a brand new character in the poster that they gave away to everybody at the autograph session that Brian and Dee were signing autographs for. There's a drawing. Uh-huh. There's a picture, of course, with Aang with his hair. Next to him is Zuko in the Fire Nation, you know, royal outfit. But behind them is like a big, you know, head of a fella who is a brand new character we've never seen before. He's kind of bald, he's got a goatee, and he's got this strange tattoo on his forehead. And we have no clue. I've never even heard rumors about him.
You think that might be the Fire Lord?
I don't know. I don't think so. Because we've seen teasing glimpses of Ozai, and he doesn't have facial hair. And he has he's not bald either.
Oh. Well, he has the goatee, you know, he has a long beard.
He does? Okay.
Yeah.
I guess I haven't
actually though. That's okay. Actually, me and my friends were thinking that actually to make it a bit more angsty and stuff. What if maybe he looks just like Zuko, only older and hairier?
Older and hairier. That's right. Hair pouring out of the nose. That's what happens when you get old. No. I imagine he and Zuko being father and son would look very much alike. But I don't know. The fella in the poster from Brian looked a lot like a Street Fighter character, to be honest with you. I don't know. I think he's new. I don't think he's the Fire Lord myself, but I could be corrected later on in the future. We'll have to see.
Or maybe he's a puppet master, for all we know.
This mysterious
thought he was the puppet master at first, but then I thought he's either the puppet master or some high-ranking Fire Nation someone.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to be high up there to get on the poster.
Yes, right, exactly.
That's true.
There's got to be something.
Can't just be some dude that said hello and walked away.
Well, if you notice in the trailer, of course, we also see the Water Nation ships that Katara and Sokka's father are with. So I guess we get to see them again.
Ooh, and Sokka kicks butt. Oh, yeah.
In wolf
that
armor.
Be awesome. Oh, yeah. And he, of course, looks smexy. Anyway, but before I go into swoon mode... Also, Teo's back, and that should be interesting.
Yeah, Teo's back.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And piloting some, looks like, tanks for busting the Fire Nation. Interestingly enough...
Fire balloon.
Oh, go ahead,
The Fire Nation balloon is finally here.
Yes, right. They finally get back to that plot point they left us hanging on. Interestingly enough, if you look in the trailer, there's a shot where it looks like one of those tanks of some kind. It's carrying explosives on the back of it. It rams into a wall and then blows up. It almost looks like the wall of Ba Sing Se. I mean, maybe it's not. I mean, I wonder if there's a movement to try to reclaim Ba Sing Se at some point in this season.
Also, I think I heard that Ty Lee and May were going to have a bigger part. So, might learn a little bit more about it.
Very, very fancy.
Oh, right!
Yes, how could I have forgotten?
The Mako kiss.
Yes, the biggest upset in fandom. I'll tell you what, when it's funny, I was talking to Amira from Distant Horizon afterward, and she was sitting behind Acastus, who is one of the admins over at Avatar SpiritNet. And she said to me that the moment she saw that on screen, she just leaned over to him and said, "I do not want to go anywhere near the forum for the next 2 weeks." This is going to explode.
Actually, I personally think that maybe it's just a dream sequence, perhaps.
You know what's funny about that? One of the animation directors had kind of mentioned that on, I think, one of his blogs. And I don't think that's the case.
Yeah.
Because it's popped up in a few other screenshots and a few other instances. Yeah. Unfortunately, I think it's canon. Maybe that one shot was a dream sequence. But
Well, maybe, but I just sort of hope that, like, I believe in the writers, but I just hope they don't do a random romance out of nowhere. But I hope that they do lead up to it, you know, they don't, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, they've kind of been leading up to it, but in the background.
Yeah, very much.
That's
in the background.
True.
Well, what do you guys think what about the whole, you know, Mako situation? What do you think the end results are going to be from that? What do you think the motives are, and what are the end results going to be?
I honestly can't see Zuko really with anyone, you know, but I could be wrong.
I think before Zuko has to do anything extreme, he's going to have to find someone that he can just, like, trust in.
I'm not really for it, but I'm not really against it. I'm just sort of, if it happens, it happens. We can't do anything about it.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but stupid Zuko!
Now, I'm treading thin water here, because there are Mako lovers who absolutely adore the ship, and of course there are Mako haters who are some of the most frightening folks when agitated over Mako. And I do not wish to upset either party. But I will say, from my experience in storytelling and where I think they're going with this, and again, I could be totally wrong, this is totally my own theory and my idea.
Okay.
I think May does have the hots for Zuko, and I think Zuko...
Well, yeah.
I think Zuko kind of reciprocates it, but I don't think he totally loves May.
Definitely.
I think, in a way, since he's kind of in this attitude now where I'm going back to the Fire Nation, I'm going to accept my life here, I think he's only accepting her as a girlfriend, as a lover, only because she's part of the Fire Nation and it's part of his image he's put on himself again. Do you know what I mean? He's more in love with his image as being a part of the Fire Nation, and she's a part of that. So I don't know if the love is truly there, and I don't think it's going to last myself. That's my personal opinion. But I think May is absolutely gaga for him. It's kind of seems a little out of character, but maybe her emo-ness is just because she never got that guy she loved.
Probably.
Well, that would be creepy, though, if, like, it's like, oh, you like me? Oh, my God, that's so cool!
Yeah. I can't picture her being bubblegum happy about it, but we have seen her smile for the first time, I think, since the first episode we saw her in. So the best I can say is we're going to have to wait and see what turns out from this whole Zuko and May situation. But they're there, they're swapping spit, and there's nothing we can do about it. It's canon now.
Yeah, okay. As long as they lead up to it, it's not just random. But, I, you know, as long as it's not just, what else is there? Suki, I hope, returns. That, you know, they can't just leave us hanging and figure out what he did.
There was nothing official, but I'm very certain she comes back.
Okay, let's see. Oh, Zuko, what's going to happen with him? One, I'm going to hate him. I know it. There's just, you know, when he told, like, Iroh that he brought this on himself, I just screamed into the screen.
I was ready to punch
my
TV.
Oh, yeah, that's...
Pretty much.
But that was...
That's another thing about the trailer. There's the one shot where he says that to Iroh, and Iroh's in the foreground. Everybody who saw the trailer initially before the high definition version thought he was like bleeding. Like, no, it was just his hair. He's got messed up hair, and his hair was hanging down over his face.
I thought he was bleeding.
So don't worry about that,
I
folks.
I thought he was bleeding.
Yeah, no blood in Avatar. And you know, I have to stand corrected on that. I'll admit, you know, I have my theories and things like that. I was putting out that hope out there that possibly Zuko was doing this on purpose just to weasel his way back into the Fire Nation to on his own agenda. No, he's still messed up.
Obviously not true.
Not true.
I'm going to cry at that scene. I just know it. Why did you
I think they were going to have something called Season 3 Syndrome, and you're just going to like cry at every scene that you didn't want to happen.
People are crying already. Yeah. It's going to be great. It's really going to be cool.
We should probably move on to the mailbags. Okay, so who wants to be the first one?
So to start off our mailbag segment, here's the first one from Clara. I disagree with you on a few points, though, like the definition of canon. I believe your definition was a relationship that has been hinted at in the show. And although it's a pretty good way to separate fanon from crack ships, from those ships that actually could happen, the term canon will always, at least to me and a few others, be certain facts provided from the show. Therefore, at least in my opinion, Kadang isn't canon yet. We all know it most probably will be, but as much as it's hinted, it's not canon until they confess their feelings for each other, kiss, or whatever. And another thing, I think it's unfair to have Kadang versus Utara discussions, because when you were all pretty much agreed that Utara won't happen in canon,
which made it all more or less like the Cadden celebration speech hour.
I kind of have to agree with that.
I can't agree or disagree without being biased.
Well, you know, first let me say, I like your definition, how you separate what is canon and not canon. And by that definition, which you listed, truly the fact that Aang and Katara have not yet expressed their feelings for each other, indeed, has not cemented that relationship as being mutual. However, I think what we were trying to do with the shipping special was trying to more or less present the fans' views of what they like and what they consider canon and not canon. I don't think we were trying so much to argue, is it really canon in the show? Well, maybe Dylan was. but I think we were trying to focus, at least I was trying to focus more on the relationships that the fans are interested in and what they define as canon and not canon and what they like to pit, you know, against each other and have little ship battles on. So, but for the most part, no, I agree with you. I know some things seemed a little one-sided, and we didn't mean to be offensive to anybody in any camp. We tried to get, you know, Zutarans involved just as much as we had people who were for Katang here as well. And unfortunately, I know there wasn't going to be much room for us to be able to be totally fair and please everybody, but thank you for your remarks anyway, and I think you have very good suggestions as to how to consider a relationship or a story element canon or non-canon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
makes
Katara
sense.
Is just like, guys are after me.
actually, I'll point you to the chibi short, School Time Shipping. She likes the blue spirit, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
That's canon. No. Our next piece of mail we received is from Hosty. I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly. Do you think the restoration of the Air Nomads will take place during the finale? I mean, if this is the finale season, they must conclude it in some way. What I'm wondering is how. Also, thanks for putting me on the podcast. Oh, you're very welcome.
I have a theory, but it's probably a bit horrible. Well, frankly, that like, you know how when they went to the Air Temple with Tio and the Inventor, how Tio was the only one with the airbending spirit? Well, maybe Aang could probably teach him airbending, but that's, yeah, I don't, yeah. This was just out of my early morning loopiness.
It's anything's anything's up in the air, if you'll forgive that absolutely terrible pun. but actually, it's
you pointed out it's way funnier.
Yeah, right. And you're very lucky to ask that, Hotsy, because that was actually a question that was asked of Brian during the Avatar panel at Comic-Con. And the question was, are the Air Nomads all wiped out for sure? And Brian confirmed that, yes, they are all dead. So that, I guess maybe that was a Season 3 spoiler, that no, we're not going to find another group of Air Nomads to continue airbending. And Aang is indeed, as the title says, the last airbender. But then, of course, another person asked, in terms of your question about the restoration, another person asked Brian, saying, well, would Aang, if he had children, have an airbender as a child? And that was another one that, disappointingly, unfortunately, Brian kind of said that that's something else we don't really think that much about, guys. So I don't think they're really, by the end of Season 3, going to go into like a Harry Potter prologue or epilogue and show him with airbending kids or anything like that. So I don't think we're ever going to really get to know.
I'm waiting for a whole 19 years later thing.
Yeah, right. But it'd be great to see the Air Nomads be restored, but I don't know if we're going to see it by the end of Season 3, unfortunately.
The unnamed one says, okay, where to start? First, I have some theories. If Zuko is good, which he is, in parentheses, could it be possible for him to escape with Iroh, run away all the way to where Azula fought Zuki? That would mean that Iroh and Zuko would be the ones to find her. Another if she could be dead. But she better not be. Has theory on that, too. I'll get into that later. If that is possible, because I have some random feeling about it, but I'm most likely wrong. Also, I think there'll be four seasons. The third is definitely fire, but the fourth could be air. This season could tell more about the Air Temple and explain the whole fate of the Air Nomads. And Suki can't be dead. Do you see how tacky that would be, having every girl Sokka kiss die?
Okay, a lot to digest there. Let's see.
Yeah.
Okay, if Zuko is good, which he is, well, I hope so. I certainly hope so. I don't think he's going to start the season off good. I think he's still, you know, despite his little resurrection and cocoon in the Earth King, his little fever he went through, I think he's still a mixed-up young man. So he wants to know, is it possible to escape with Iroh and run away to where Azula fought Suki? I don't know if that's going to happen. That's
Probably not.
That's a pretty long distance. If you go to the Avatar website on Nick.com and you look at the maps, I think from the information we've gathered already that Zuko and Iroh's storyline with Azula as well, they're going to start the season off already back in the Fire Nation, because it's going to be a couple weeks' time from when Season 2 ended and Season 3 started. And I think they're already back in the Fire Nation, so I don't know. They could escape and travel back there, but I don't know if that would there'd be enough time for that, because I do think, from the information we've gathered, most of what's going to happen next season is going to happen in the Fire Nation, even with the gang. They're going to be in the Fire Nation, sneaking their way around.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
About the whole four seasons, when do you guys answer that?
Well, I'm sorry, but Mike and Brian have confirmed that Season 3 is, in fact, the last one. As of the podcast air date, so far the fourth season has not been picked up yet. However, there could be more comics, but they said that themselves that this will be the last of the Aang story. This is Aang's story will be over with the third season. However, the Avatar universe is very broad, and perhaps they can probably make comics or so about what else could go on in there.
It's a big universe, and they did say they're not done with it, so hopefully we'll see something in the future, but probably not right away, unfortunately. You mentioned that the fourth season could be air. It has been said, I think jokingly, before that the air season actually took place before season or book one, Water. They said that was Aang's birth and teaching in the air temple. That was technically the season we didn't see. So, which I think stinks. I want to see the whole air season, but no. And
you want to see Aang's birth?
Well, we did see the birth of Hope.
You sick man.
Remember the little baby Hope? Yeah, we did see their birth. So
yeah.
And Suki can't be dead. Yeah, I agree. I don't think Suki could be dead either. I don't want Suki to be dead. Darn it.
That'd be horrible. That'd be horrible.
I think the only reason I don't want Suki to be dead is for personal reasons.
To free up
Sokka. I don't know. I didn't want to see my Sokka. I don't want to see my Sokka hurt. And you know, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that. Yeah, I think it would be cheesy too to have every girl Sokka is involved with die. So I'm gonna give you a big thumbs up and pat you on the back, and I'm gonna tell you I'm very certain that Suki's gonna make a reappearance. I'm very certain. I'm gonna bet my fandom on it. Darn it. Ooh,
fandom.
Man, I don't know. How do I give that up? But anyway, I'm pretty certain Suki's gonna come back. I mean, they
bet your voice.
If nothing else, even if we don't exactly see Suki return 100%, they're not just gonna leave us at that cliffhanger with Azula. They're too good of storytellers. They wouldn't do that to us. That'd be horrible.
Yeah, that'd be awful. Yeah, me and my friends pretty much say something like, if she's not dead, then chances are she's probably running around naked in the woods, which probably is also awful.
Next email. This is from Bill, I think it says. Okay, anyway. So, we know that firebenders will lose their firebending ability during a solar eclipse, but will certain firebenders still be able to bend lightning? That's a good question.
That's actually a good question. Well, actually, probably not, because lightning is a advanced form of firebending, so they probably won't be able to do that either.
Right, so any type of bending is minimized during that eclipse. So the whole 9 yards.
Yeah.
Just as if if there was some way to minimize your earth bending, I doubt you'd be able to metal bend as well.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's just going on the rules that we've seen so far. I suppose anything is possible if they want to write it to be so, though. Okay, the next person, Marlon, writes, "Hey guys, I have a couple of questions for you. Do you guys think that Sokka and Katara's father will come back in Season 3? What are your guys'... Oh, yeah, I think so, too. I agree. What are your guys' speculation on how Iroh made a trip to the spirit world? And, lastly...
To save his son.
What will happen with the Jasmine Dragon, Iroh's tea shop, now that Iroh is being held prisoner? And he also says, your guys' podcast rocks. Thank you so much, Marlon.
Aw, thank you. Thank you. We really appreciate it. Well, frankly, I think the tea shop is now being converted into a clothing shop for Jasmine Dragon. Chances are we're probably not going to go back to that ever again.
Yeah, I think unfortunately the tea shop's doors have been closed. Either they found a new person to take it over, or it's something else now in Boston.
And the tea will suck.
The tea will never be quite the same quality.
The same. Yeah. So, if anything, it'll probably be a clothing shop if they know what's best for them, if they know how to make money.
And the speculation on how Iroh made a trip to the spirit world, well, technically, I don't know that we
I kind of think...
Do we know that he's made a trip to the spirit world? All we know so far, I think, is that he's in tune with the spirit world, and he knows certain things. Like he can see Aang
kind of
in spirit mode. Yeah, what's that?
I have a theory that's pretty much borderline fan fiction. maybe he went over there to save his son, but couldn't or something. I don't know. Yeah, borderline fan fiction, so probably not.
I'm sensing fan fiction here.
Oh, you get a right one? Don't steal it. It's mine.
That's possible. That's possible. Yeah, but I hopefully we'll have those questions answered for us in this third season. Why is he so in tune with the spirit world? But at the moment,
yeah,
we don't know yet.
That would probably be answered in that one episode.
Which one? Oh, right.
Wow,
we can't say. Yeah, that's right. We're not allowed. But everyone will find out about it very soon.
If you have any more mail, to send us, please feel free to send it to us. We appreciate hearing your words. It shows us we're doing either a horrible job, a good job, or I don't know. We're lonely old people, so we like people's company. So feel free to send mail at us at dongbufang.net.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So before we close, let me just ask you guys real quick, after everything you've seen from Comic-Con, after all the new rumors and the buzz of what's going to happen, what is the thing that you, one thing each, that you are most looking forward to seeing in this big, epic, grand finale of Avatar?
I'm just, I'm excited already. I don't know, just everything. The angst, probably. Probably the final fight. That should be interesting. It'll probably be like a big war between everything. I don't know. A little bit more about Zuko's past. A little, you know. Let's see.
Oh, that's more than one thing. No,
and the bending. Ooh, the bending.
Yes. And Abby, what about you? What's something that you are most looking forward to in this big grand finale?
Catting. Definitely catting. All the way. I'm such a super fan for that. So definitely looking forward to that.
Yeah, definitely butt kicking action.
So, plenty of great, awesome animated action, and of course, we will learn which ship finally sets sail. But of course, let me remind all shippers out there that the beauty of fandom, fan fiction, and fan art is you can ship whatever you want, and it's just as valid as anything that's on the show. It's what you choose to enjoy.
Zula canon.
Yeah. And of course, I say all that just to cover myself and make sure that nobody hurts me. In closing, just let me say again that it was incredible fun at Comic-Con. I really sincerely hope that we have another get-together of Avatar fans sometime in the future. Everybody who was there, who I got to meet and talk to, it was a joy. It was great getting to meet you. This fandom is fantastic. And again, like I said, hopefully in the future, it won't be too long before we all get to meet again. And everybody who didn't get a chance to be there, make sure you make it to the next one. Okay.
Definitely make it to the next one.
Yep.
Sweet.
Maybe Tada guy will be there.
Of course, we're going to sign off. This has been Kevin, alternate Copa there. And, of course, we've had Stephanie.
Bye.
And Abby.
Goodbye, everybody.
Yep. And, of course, Dylan had to leave a little early, and I'll say goodbye for him.
Goodbye.
He's going to kill you for that. You know that, right?
Oh, I know he will.
Lock your door. Close your windows. Get dogs. Get, like, John Hunt, German Shepherd dogs.
Oh, I'm deader than Jet. I know. Okay. We'll see you guys all next time. Take care.